It's got a lot of truth in it. And certainly, I told him years ago that that ought to be out there on YouTube or something for people to see, hear and understand that there are still some people that still believe in the old-time way. And they may not get many people that like it, but that's all right. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. In the book of John, if you want to open your Bibles to the 8th chapter and follow along with us for a few minutes of time this evening. I'll try not to be before you too long. You preached the old man pretty hard this morning. But I love God's word. I love when the Spirit comes down from out of heaven and fills the midst of the church to where we can feel like we've been to church instead of just a good social gathering tonight. But in the book of John in the 8th chapter, starting at verse 1, reading down through and including verse 11 today, he says in verse 1, Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that he might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none of but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And stop reading there with that 11th verse. And we've made reference to this passage of Scripture many times over the years. But tonight I like to use it in a different context, with our text being not to condemn, but to save. Christians today, as we see that this was the religious community, if you'll have it today, that brought this woman to Jesus. It says very plainly in verse 3, it was the Pharisees and the scribes that brought her. And in the world today, we often get a reputation, a bad reputation for wanting to condemn people. But yet, it is not us that condemns people. It's the Word of God. God did not put us here to go around and point out people's failures and shortcomings. Because before we could ever point out somebody else's shortcomings of the Lord, we first would have to look at ourselves. And these men that brought this woman to Christ, they did it as a test. They always was trying to put him in an awkward situation to where that if he would have been, if he would have condemned her according to Moses, then they would be able to say it was Jesus that condemned you, not us. As though they put him to a test to see what his reaction would be. And the world often puts you and I to a test to see what our reaction is going to be when they talk about their sin. And the world is proud of their sin. They are very proud of their sin. But I am more proud that God has taken those desires out of my heart in my life. The things that the world desires, God's people ought to have no desire for them at all. None. But yet we're not here to condemn the world. The world does not need another message. They already know what they're doing is wrong. They have a conscience. They have the Word of God that the Bible says that is in us. And it dwells there. Before I ever knew the Lord, I knew what was right and wrong. We were taught what was right and wrong. And we can tell what is right or wrong, not by a message, but by watching what is acceptable and what is not acceptable in our homes and in our churches and in our lives. Nobody had to tell me growing up that cursing was wrong. I knew it was wrong. Nobody had to tell us that drinking was wrong. We knew it was wrong. And the list could go on and on and on. But our position is not to condemn the world, but through Jesus Christ that the world might be saved. They had every right by the law to take this woman out to the pit. I don't know how much you've studied about stoning, but it was typically a 10 to foot, 15 foot pit that they would take them to with their hands tied behind their back, and they would cast them. They would push them into that pit. And then they would gather up stones. If that didn't kill them, they would gather up boulders, not little bitty stones, but boulders, and throw them at that person until that person was dead. They had this woman ready to throw into the pit. And the very one that would push them in was the accuser. If it come down to that, many of us would have been thrown into the pit a long time ago. I got some amens. You know where you were. You see that they brought her there and they was ready to destroy her. But when I say this many times over the years as we've talked about it and preached on it, if she was taught or caught in the very act, as it says in verse 4, and it's emphatical that they say that she was caught in the very act. My question is, where was the man? We are quick to accuse those or to condemn those that are not in our family or in our group or even in our sex, if you'll have it. That sometimes, if we're not careful, we will have leniency toward those that we know and condemn those that we don't know. Maybe the man was a good friend of theirs. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But while they was telling their story, trying to put Jesus in the middle of it, he just stooped down and said to them, "Ye that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." One of my points tonight is that none of us can look down upon any sinner. Every one of us would be in the same or worse shape had it not been for what God has done for us. I could not cast a stone at anybody. And sometimes we're too quick, to get a stone, Wayne, and begin, get it ready to throw. We've got the arm already back. The Isaac sing a song that talks about the rock, the stone, if I can use that interjectively tonight, is that, we ought not carry around a stone because they're too heavy. They weigh us down. And we carry that stone just in case we see somebody doing something wrong so that we can tell them how wrong it is. Some of you don't want to hear a message like this. But it's true. We're too quick to judge and to condemn when what we ought to be doing is praying for them, showing love to them, that we might get them back to the house of the Lord and let God do the condemning. Not you and I, because you and I today, we all have sin. And if a man says that he has not sinned, Scripture says that he is a liar and the truth is not in him. How many sinners am I preaching to tonight? Drop your stones and let's walk away, because we cannot condemn anybody based upon what God has forgiven us for all these years. And you say, if we can't condemn them, how are we going to let them know that what they're doing is wrong? If they spend any time around you, they'll find out what you know, what you think is right or wrong. People know by the being around you that you don't act like they do. There are some that still to this day, when they come off with a curse word, they'll say, "Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry for that." Because they know, based upon your life. Your life is the best Bible that a lot of people ever read. In fact, it's the only Bible a lot of people read. And your life condemns their life. Not by what we say. And I don't think that any of us think that we are holier than thou. But you know, when they look at us, they say, "There's that goody good two shoes." Right? And that's all right. Let them say that. Because I'd rather them say that than say, "There's that hypocrite. He preaches on Sunday and then comes and does everything contrary to the Word of God the rest of the week." They know that we don't act like they do. We don't partake in their partying. I've said it many times over the years that, you know, when the neighbors all getting together and Becky and I aren't invited. We was talking the other day. She was talking about something about being invited to. I said, "No, you know, I'm not invited to those things." And, you know, a lot of people, we are flesh. At first we think, "Well, why didn't they invite us?" But then I think, "Well, thank God they didn't." Because they realize that we don't partake. And that's the best scripture that you can have in your life. These men were ready to stone this woman because she was caught in the act of adultery. If that was the case, how many millions of Americans would be dead? It's sad, but it's true. We wouldn't have enough pits or enough stones. And yet, maybe they'd all still be alive because we couldn't cast the first stone. We couldn't follow suit. I see too many people today that are quick to judge somebody else's life and to tell others, family members and them alike that, you know, that they ought to do something about it. You and I can do nothing about our people's lives except pray for them. And be the Christian in front of them that God wants us to be. And it ought to thrill our hearts when somebody says, "Can I talk to you about the Lord? Can I talk to you about my failures? Can I talk to you about my shortcomings?" You see, Jesus said best, love will cover a multitude of sin. Instead of us giving them a scripture, instead of us telling them how we feel in our heart, nobody has to ask, "Roger, do you drink?" Because they know that I don't drink. I used to tell them in the church, you want to see a Baptist church, eyeballs get big. One night I was preaching down at New Haven about drinking, and I said in that message that when God saves you, you don't have to quit drinking. And I paused like that for a few minutes, and people's eyes got real big. I said, all you got to do is get saved and let God change the fountain from which you're drinking from. And people say, "Now, Roger, this is the modern time. You ought not to say that about drinking, because social drinking is socially accepted. It also leads to alcoholism. And it will betray a Christian's testimony. We'll begin to speak with a forked tongue if we partake in that. And many of our Christians have lost their influence with their friends and family because they've commingled the world into their Christian life. You're either with God or you're against God. And this, we see that when they was all gone, verse 9 says that they were all convicted by their own conscience. Brother Charlie, I believe this with all my heart. If God doesn't convict them, your words and mine will just be like water off over a duck's back. It won't do no good. It takes God to convict and condemn, not you and I. And when we begin to look at conviction, the Bible teaches us that when we see what happened here, that there these men that brought her to the Lord, their own evil wasn't against her, but it was against Christ. They was putting him on the spot. How many of us as Christians has the world tried to put us on the spot and try to even embarrass us because we are a child of God? I said a few weeks ago, and Terry knows about this, woman down at work that said, "Preacher, what do you think about me taking my tithes and using it down the boat to gamble?" And she said, "You know," I said, "that's up to you." And then, you know, she came back several days saying the same thing. And finally, I just looked at her and I told her, I said, "If you can live with it, God can live without it. But that's going to cost you." She knew that tithing was right, and she knew that gambling was wrong. But you see, they put us on a test and try to belittle us for being a born-again child of God. You know what I say? Let the world say what they want to about me. I'll still stand up and be proud that I am a born-again child of the living God. Not only that, but their conscience was convicted because they brought the woman, but they didn't bring the man. You know, again, let me interject this. How many of us will be open before God in this congregation tonight and admit that we are more lenient to those that we love than those that we don't know? Blood is thicker than water. And we look at what our kids or what our grandkids or what our family member does, and we'll say, "Oh, that ain't too bad." But if we saw a total stranger doing it, we'd say, "Oh, Lord, they ought to be stoned." Aren't you glad God's not like that? But God judges every one of us the same, according to the same word and by the same measure. And the Bible teaches us as children of God, be careful how we judge people. Because by the same measure that we judge others, it'll come back and judge us as well. Another part of this, or another form of their conviction, was they didn't know what he was writing on the ground. He was just writing on the ground. What was he writing? Nobody knows. But you know, sometimes when God begins to be still, it scares us because, and conviction comes in because we don't know what God is doing. And they were scared. I believe they were scared because he was just writing on the ground, almost like he was ignoring them. But yet he knew that they was there all the time. And then he came back with this conviction that really got to them. He said, let you that are without sin cast the first stone. And they all began. Can you see this bunch of men? They don't tell us how many was there. But can you see them looking at each other and see what somebody else is going to do? And they all, I believe they dropped their stone. And they walked away, starting at the eldest all the way to the youngest. I don't know if that was by age or by their Christian life. Because we had scribes and we had Pharisees. It could have been some of the elder Pharisees and scribes that walked away first. You know, sometimes, and I'll put this in for good measure, sometimes it's better to just walk away than it is to say anything. How many of you have ever had to walk away? Because you knew there was nothing you could say to change the situation. Another form of their conviction was the hypocrisy that they had that Christ knew about. You see, the Pharisees were bad for condemning one set of people and letting another one go free. Here we have, again, that same illustration, the man and a woman. You see, we pick and choose sometimes who we're going to preach to and who we're going to love. Some of you are agreeing with me. You know it's true. Sometimes instead of preaching, we just need to show them love. Show them love and show them by our life that they know that we don't partake in those things. And then in the book of Romans, in the second chapter, in the first verse, it tells us that another form of people being convicted by their own conscience is their guilt of committing the same crimes. So you see, before I could ever judge anybody about what they've done, I'd have to say I'm innocent of all of them. And not just what they're being accused of, but of all the law and all of the Word of God. We can't pick and choose what part we're going to take and what part we're going to leave out. We need to allow God's love to permeate from our hearts and our lives into the lives of others. And they will see more of God in us, not by condemning them, but trying to save them. And let me close tonight. You say, but Roger, if we can't tell them what they're doing wrong is wrong, how can we save them? By living a Christian life in front of them. How many of you have ever been criticized for being a Christian, but yet when somebody got in a hard spot or needed prayer, you was the one that they came to? That speaks volumes tonight, church. Because we're not condemning, we're just being Christ-like in front of them that they can see that we are totally dedicated to God and to His Word. And we don't have that holier-than-thou attitude. Because that's what will drive people away. That's what I'm afraid. In fact, I just had a conversation this morning. How many of you know people that's been driven away from the church? And most of it is because people wanted to point a finger. And this is elementary tonight, but I heard this when I was a kid. How many of you know every time you point a finger at somebody, you got three others pointing back at you? Some of you try it. You don't believe me. Right? And every time we talk to someone and try to condemn them, they have a rebuttal that will come right back to us. Do they not? You tell them you ought not do that, they'll say, but. And then they'll give us something. Say something about us or about the church or about God. Or some, when you tell them that you know, they know that you don't drink, and they say, "Buddy, it's good. Even the Bible says a little wine is good for the stomach." I think the whole lost community knows that verse out of the Bible. But I say unto them, yeah, but the Bible also says that strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So we ought to refrain from it. But yet, don't let me condemn you, because I have to do what Roger feels is right. But I do believe this. The scripture says that the Bible is not a private interpretation by anybody. What God laid down for me, church, he laid down for you. You say, but you're the preacher. What God laid down for me, he laid down for you. People will forgive lay members, but Charlie would let a preacher do something, buddy, and he's ostracized for the rest of his life. And it makes sense, because we are held to a higher standard. I don't know why God laid this on my heart, but we need it to see that we are not the judge of this world. God is the judge. You say, but I need to tell them how I feel. No, you need to show them how you feel. Show them. Because they've heard enough messages. Have you ever seen somebody try to talk to somebody and they say, I've heard enough preaching in my lifetime. I don't need another one. What they're saying is they've had enough of that religious experience. They need somebody to show them what a Christian really is all about. And let me close with this. Jesus told her, go and sin no more. I believe that woman went away and sinned no more. We don't have the story of the rest of her life. But folks, when God did that great work for her, I believe it changed her for the rest of her life. Just like you and I. God, when he did a work in our life, he changed us. Not for 6 months or 9 months or a year, but for the rest of our lives, we are changed. And no matter how hard, some people try to get away from it. That's why the scripture says, train up a child when they're young, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And I say this to Terry and Charlene. I say it to all of us today. They've got kids outside of church. Pray on. Don't condemn. Don't preach. Just keep living a Christian life. And one day, drop the stones. And let them see Christ. Because he did not put us here to condemn, but he put us here to help save the world. Tonight, how many of you got people that need to be saved? I think about those that are lost. I think about those that are away from God. We've got a host of people that are saved and are out there wandering around in the world. And a lot of them are away from the church because the church drove them away. We have to be careful how we look at people, how we talk to people, how we react to people. And I found this. I've had to do a lot of changing over the years. I used to be quick to give my opinion. But in my latter years, how many of you have ever had to bite your tongue because you don't want to give the wrong answer? My tongue is shorter than what it used to be. And there's some of them, you just want to give them a piece of your mind about their life and how they're doing. But God didn't send us to convict them. He sent us to help save them. And love will get our people in before anything else will. Tonight we're going to have an altar of prayer because we need, all of us, need to drop our stones. You know, that song says that they get heavy, and it also says that it hurts our people. How many of you have seen Christians quick to reach in their pocket and get the stone out and ready to throw it? They're ready to throw it, Brother Ron, and that's not what God put us here for. God put us here to lead them to the rock that they might be saved. And if any of us today, if our sins was known, we would have been stoned. And you say, but I didn't commit adultery. Did you know the Bible says if you're guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of all of it? How many of you ever broke the law? Raise your hands in the house of the Lord. We've all been in that pit. But praise God, Jesus brought us out and established us in a new life. So let's don't condemn the world. Let's try to help save the world. And I tell you this, and I'll close. There are some people that tell you how close they are to God, how close their family are to God, and how close their children are to God. I say, mark them. Something's wrong. Because, you see, my closeness to God, and I y'all going to think terrible of me after I say this. My closeness to God sometimes depends on the circumstances of the day I went through. Thank you for those agreeing with me. There are sometimes I'm so close I can almost feel his breath. Then there's times when I'm so far away, it's like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Because I need you. And I can't condemn anybody. I can't say I'm better than anybody. All I can say is I once was lost, but now I'm found. And God forgave me of all sin. And I praise him for it. Tonight, would you join us as we go before him in prayer? Because I believe there's a lot of people that need a touch of God. They don't need to hear a scripture. They don't need to hear a sermon. They just need to know somebody cares about them, that loves them, and shows Christ to them in their life. Would you pray with us as we close tonight?
Along the journey, that would show us, Lord, that we all are nothing but sinners that's been saved by